Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of the Taking a Breath podcast. First of all, it has been only a couple of days since our last episode, and I've been on this great trend of kind of like younger and student founders that are up to things in the student and education space. And so I'm excited to continue that trend today. We had, quick updates. We had a hurricane that actually came through South Carolina, where my guests are coming in from today. It's been through Florida and was kind of worried about how that would affect flights tomorrow. I'll be flying back to Raleigh from Nashville after a month, and super excited to be back in Raleigh and all that will come with that. So headed back your way. And then, now finally back over COVID and just excited to be back in the swing of things and feeling good. But let's get into the episode today. I'm super excited. This is my first episode ever to do two guests. They're a co-founder duo and just really excited for what they're up to. They run a company called Student Made. It was started to provide creative students with a platform to share their talents and businesses with their campus communities. And as Student Made continues to expand to schools across the country, their goal is also to connect with students with supporters on their campus and their growing network of campuses, right? And so it's exciting to see it's a collaborative and supportive program where a dedicated team of student managers is working to create opportunities for student creators to be successful. So as you all know, I love projects where it is inspired people inspiring others. That's why Taking a Breath exists. So Lindsay Reith and Ryan McElhenney, thank you so much for being here. Super excited to jump in. Would love for y'all to just kick it off and share a little bit of the story behind Student Made.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So we're excited to be here. This is awesome. In terms of how we kind of started in the background, we both started Student Made when we were students. We were sophomores on our college campus at the time. And it seems pretty simple, but we just started meeting so many students who were starting or running businesses out of their college dorm room. And at the time, we were kind of also trying to figure out what we were passionate about. And for some reason, this really struck a chord with us, and we thought it was the coolest thing. And we immediately wanted to find a way to help these students showcase what they were doing, what they were passionate about with their campus community. So that was kind of what drove the idea. And from that, we decided to create a pop-up shop where they could feature and sell their products. And we invited the whole campus to come. It turned out so great that they asked when we were doing it next, and we actually hadn't planned to do it past the first pop-up. It was kind of like one and done. Then we did it again the next year. We had double the students. We actually had the president of the university come and purchase a custom painting from one of the students who had never sold anything before. For like $2,000, something around like that. And it was just the most, it was just like encompassed the whole thing in one interaction. And then we graduated. And so that was when it was kind of like, okay, where do we take this? We're not local. We can't be in person. What do we do?
Yeah. Okay. So tell me more. So what did you guys decide? And are you doing this full time, or is this kind of like a side project right now?
This is full time for us now, actually. Yeah.
Let's go. And tell me more about like your target audience even. So like when you're thinking about, you know, the contribution that you guys are making to campuses now and a spreading network of campuses, who's that target audience and how are you finding those people?
Yeah. So of course this is mainly built upon the structure of student managers and student creators. So going back to our very first pop-up, we found, which amazed us, that we found 15 students at our university, which is a pretty smallish university, maybe 6,000 students. And we got those 15 students together in the same room and actually for several meetings beforehand, meeting with each other, and they didn't know that there was anyone else like them on campus trying to start and grow a business. And immediately I remember we met in our student union, I guess you'd say, the student center, and we were sitting around in a circle, and instantly it became like the coolest club ever. Like I had never seen we had never seen more like engagement and excitement before. It was students being together on campus. And like we were talking a little bit, you know, about earlier is, you know, there's a lot of things going on college campuses. There's, you know, the parties and the social groups and all this and the classes. And we just found that there was nothing that we had seen with more engagement like this. And for us, it was like, wow, this is something that's really cool that they're all doing a very similar thing. And here is this network that they can all tap into for this. And they're clearly doing that. And it never been done before. And so, of course, yes, finding creators to be a part of this. The next year we found 20 more and it was 35.
Wow.
And we had about, I forget the exact number, maybe 2000, I think it was close to the 2000 visitors during that 4-hour event.
Wow.
So everyone from campus came out to this.
That's crazy.
And Phil, we booked this. We were nervous because we wanted one room and we ended up with, we wanted 1.5 rooms and we wound up with double the space, like 3 rooms. And we were like, this is going to look empty. No one's going to, we're not going to fill this room. Yeah. And it turned into the like festival. Like we were not expecting it. It, you know, the administration was there, like all the faculty came out and we're like, where are they coming from? Like it's 8 o'clock at night. The faculty was there, like the university staff. I remember I was hanging up flyers prior to the event. And one of the like physical plant cleaning crew members was like, what's that? And she's like, you know, I always wonder like what talents these students are up to. And she's like, I hear some students singing sometimes in their room or painting in their, and she's like, I would love to come check this out. And sure enough, she was our first guest at the event, first one to walk through the doors. She was like this, I don't know, 75-year-old physical plant member that just bought all this stuff, was so excited to check out what the students were making.
And that kind of perfectly answers the question you started with, which is who on campus were we engaging? What was the audience like?
Yeah.
And for the first time, it really felt like we could tap into every single community because everyone was engaged in this, interested in it, and genuinely wanted to support and see what students were doing across campus.
And then as you guys are seeing so much demand on your campus, what then sparked the interest in let's go out to other campuses? Like how did that transition happen?
Ooh, great question.
Another sort of passion of mine and Lindsay's that I don't know if it's very commonly shared among people. One we mentioned earlier was kind of being into what people are passionate about. Like that really strikes us because we found a whole journey with ourselves in discovering that question and kind of going through the things. You're like, is this me? Is this not me? I don't know. And seeing this group of students kind of know so to their core, like this is me and this is what I want to share with my campus. We were like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of passion number one. Now, passion number two was actually like, what are the cultures of other college campuses like? Yeah. That was something from our freshman year, we would get off campus as often as we could and go explore all the colleges in the area and be like, what are the students like here? What is their culture? Like, what, how do they connect with each other, with their university? Like all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And to us, it was fascinating. So it sparked the question, how would student made do at other campuses? One, are there creators at other campuses starting businesses, trying to grow it on their campus and maybe having similar issues that students at our campus are having, you know, only being able to reach a small friend group, maybe having an Etsy shop, but selling only to customers in their hometown, or maybe even some across the country, but that don't really share that identity as a member of that college campus with them.
Yeah.
To us, we thought that was really powerful that it's like, oh, hey, you know, you're in the dorm next to mine. I had no idea there was a business being run out of that dorm. Like how cool.
Crazy.
And so that I would say going to our second campus worked flawlessly. Like it showed us that this concept was there. The potential was there. And and so far at 5 campuses and soon to be 11 campuses.
Dang,
that's
crazy.
That's proven true that it's even more than our first campus. It's worked better and better with each next one. So,
and that's always been the easy part, actually. People always ask that. How do you find creators?
Yeah.
And that's the easy part. I mean, finding students running businesses on campus, there's so many of them. And we basically just picked up on that trend And once we went to our second campus, we were basically like, okay, every single campus has this. We just need to find them and create a community out of it. And then we also became inspired by how do we make this online shop represent the culture of this campus differently from our other online shops?
Yeah.
So Appalachian State kind of sparked that. They were our second campus.
Nice.
They're so different. It's mountains. It's like crafty. It's a little granola. There's a lot of culture going on there. Yeah. And so we made the shop feel that because we want to express that campus culture, supporting students who go to that campus. And that's why each of our shops is unique and individualized to that campus culture as well.
And I guess I would just add to that about Boone. We really lucked out with Boone because it's totally a hippie culture. And it's so much about the like support local, shop, you know, creators type of thing. And we didn't even really know that going into it.
Yeah.
And it really is like the partnerships that they've been able to form with like so many businesses in the downtown there and like the alumni of Boone. And like we had, this is getting probably off topic, but an Airbnb reach out wanting to furnish the whole apartment with student made.
Dang. Stuff.
And it's like the community is so about that, we were like, man, we didn't even really think about the downtown aspect from where we went to school. It's pretty rural, not much of a town around there. And so that, you know, really kind of showed the other side of things.
Totally. Yeah. Well, and it's crazy because there's two sides. One is there's so much that you can do when you're in that space, right? I mean, like you mentioned the Airbnb example, which I think is a great example of like, you know, way outside of, you know, that initial intention, which is creating a community for creators to come together and grow. Okay. But like, there's so much that can come out of it. I'm curious to hear some examples of like your favorite, you know, things that you've seen or business examples that are in kind of the network. Like what types of things, you know, a lot of times people think of creators and they're thinking of, you know, content creators now, like that's a word that automatically pops into our head. So for anyone who's not familiar with the types of things or types of businesses that you're working with, tell us a little bit more and just favorite examples.
Yeah. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because we use that word creator all the time. So we just know what that means. But we've seen so many different things. Most of them are tangible products that students can sell. So like things like jewelry, prints, paintings, candles, knitting, crochet, things like that. We also see students do customized items. So you can place a custom order through the website as well for kind of anything art related. We also are kind of starting to tap into other student businesses. Like students are starting to reach out and say, hey, I have a dog walking business on campus. How can I utilize student made to promote that business? And so we're kind of needing to think about how do we allow this brand to cover all student created businesses rather than just physical items as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a huge opportunity to expand there, right? To student entrepreneurs, right? And create that. I mean, that's what all businesses that are early stages love, a natural addition to the company, right? Like when you can have that, it basically is a no-brainer for us to add this thing on. And when we get ready for it, like it's perfect, right? And I love how passionate you guys are. Like just even the energy of, you know, you sharing this with me, I'm feeling excited for you, right? I'm feeling excited for all these people that are in the network. Like, I'm curious, did you guys have an entrepreneurship background, or is that what you were studying, or like, did it just kind of like randomly happen? Like, what did that look like?
That is interesting. The formal answer to that is I was an entrepreneurship major.
Okay.
Lindsay was a human service studies major, which we think kind of really harmonized in this because yes, it is a business, but you know, the more we get into this endeavor, this journey, I guess I don't really see it as all that much of a business. Of course it has to be. And we go through all that lovely, wonderful stuff of accounting and the finances all these systems and great things that are super fun. But really, and I tell this to Lindsay all the time, she's kind of our main people person. She is in charge of, most recently, with our 6 new campuses launching. We have 7 student manager roles. Her job has basically been training each manager at each school. So we're talking about there's 7 managers, 6 schools, 42 managers that she really prioritizes connecting with and spreading this energy to, like you said. Like, we think that this runs on people is the most important part for sure. Like, how this operates, there has to be a great relationship between managers and the students, or else it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work as good as it can. We also have this new concept as of recent, success managers, which are regional managers that kind of oversee multiple campuses. Nice. All of this structure is totally people-based and energy-based. So business, yes, very important that it, you know, financially can work and the structure is correct. But we've seen that what's grown this so much is the energy that and the love that people have for everyone that's a part of it. And just, I guess, feeding off the passion that we have for it and wanting to be involved in that,
be a part of that.
And so I think, you know, that's where I always joke, like her human service, it's all about feelings and fitting in and like, you know, all that, which I always joked about.
Yeah. Lindsay, tell me a little bit more about this, because it sounds like you're like very much in that space of like the day to day and like spreading that energy to people. It's like, as you scale more, what does it look like to be able to continue to, you know, I know, you know, naturally a founder's capacity gets more and more limited, right? And eventually it's in all 50 states and eventually there's, you know, 100 locations, right? So what does that look like as you're adding more locations to still be able to share that like initial energy you guys have for it?
That's an awesome question. And I'm like right in the middle of learning what that's like, because again, when we had 5 campuses, it was easy to be very close with the manager, even though 35, it was manageable. It was busy, but manageable. And so now, as Ryan said, we just added 6 more, which will be 11 campuses total. I've really changed my focus to prioritizing our network. So I have trained so many managers and they know so many things and they have this energy and excitement for student made. So now my goal is kind of connecting the managers together. So they'll work together, ask each other questions and kind of rely a bit more on each other than me. I just kind of get them to that point. And that's where this network that we've created of people who are very invested in this community does a lot of the work for me, and I can kind of step back and continue to grow because they've developed those connections already together.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a powerful thing to be able, I mean, that's a talent. I mean, that's a huge talent that a lot of people do not have, to be able to instill that energy and create a community that is supportive. And I mean, I know it's cool to be able to see you doing that at a smaller scale with the team manager, you know, the manager role, because then they're going out and doing it in their school. Right. And so, you know, one of the things I've seen, and we didn't chat about this beforehand, I run an accelerator or like a co-living, you know, a space in Raleigh, for entrepreneurs as well. So this is just very up my alley of like things that I'm passionate about, community for solo founders and all of this. And just seeing how lonely it is to be trying to run a business or anything, right? So the part of, I'm sure, what's sparking people is like, wow, I could have a group of other people that are with me. And I'm curious to hear a little bit more. And Ryan, maybe you can touch on this, you know, around the business model, you know, for you guys as a company, what does it look like for you to start making money? Or is it more of a nonprofit model? What's the long term there?
Well, one thought about kind of on the last question that
sure, relates
this as well is how we expand with the people, like you were saying.
Right.
And I think one big worry that we had was relying on this energy that we felt responsible for handing off directly to each person.
Yeah.
And it's true. Like, you know, when we come back to our initial concept of this, our first dream was really, how can this work as a network?
Yeah.
And for it to be a network, it has to rely on that network itself, not us stimulating that constantly.
100%.
So that has to mean that managers are able to learn from other managers across other campuses without us facilitating that directly and being like, hey, you should schedule a call with this person to see like how it's working on their campus, or maybe, you know, we can all be on a call together and we can we can connect you guys. It can't really work like that. Mm-hmm. There has to be a structure where that's how it works in like the DNA of how One Campus works is really how our whole network is working, because we're all learning the same thing and in the same boat. So I guess that's kind of one thing I wanted to say on that. As far as business model structure, we wanted to test that concept, obviously. So we had all these theories about how can this work with multiple campuses together. You know, we wanted to have not too many creators to manage, but enough that the concept could be proven. So we initially aimed for about 20 to 30. We wanted to find 20 to 30 creators at each campus. That proves that there's enough demand for this. There's enough students starting businesses. And we were really eager to work out all the kinks, all the problems that come up in managing this in this structure. And so we got to the point right now where it's going to be 11 schools, and we are thinking, you know, sustainability wise, financially, how is this going to look in the future? We started at a model where we took a percentage of sales, actually. That's kind of going back to the beginning.
Way back.
We took 20% mm-hmm. of total sales through the website, and kind of saw how that worked and adapted. And from our point of view, it looked a little bit like, to us, it felt like we were, I don't know the best way to explain it, but relying on each creator's sales to kind of fuel our business model in a way.
Right.
And we were saying, okay, how can you sell more? How can you, and we were getting into this point of like really advising and feeling the pressure of almost everyone to sell more. And that's not, obviously that's an outcome that we want to see. We want to see people selling their products and growing, but we found that there was a little bit of tension in that being the basis for growing our business model, if that makes sense. We since evolved into a fee, a semester fee, to basically be part of the platform.
Okay.
So it's $60 per semester. You can upload as many or as few products as you want. You are open to any of the resources we provide, all the community events, all of the learning, all of the partnerships, everything. But that's how we felt that, and in a lot of cases, it actually worked better for their profits rather than taking that percentage. So we felt that worked out better. Now we're not experts on it yet, because we're kind of in the midst of this right now, is figuring out, you know, we kind of got to a point where we're like, hey, we're going to need maybe like 50, 60, 70 creators at each campus to make this sustainable. And now we're thinking, okay, how much pressure does that put on the manager team to ensure that each one of those people can be successful on the platform? I mean, we're talking about a really busy website. We're talking about strain on social media promotion to be able to highlight those people enough, mm-hmm. all that. And so maybe Lindsay, you can touch on kind of this other model we have going forward of cool. where we think Student Made can go in the future and mm-hmm. how we think it can tap into a lot of potential for the creators to be more successful, for mm-hmm. us to kind of have a more hands-off but more promising business model. And
I feel like that was like a mic drop.
Yeah,
I know, it's perfect. It's great. Great transition. He's like, set it up.
I've heard my own voice too long, so I get
no. And this is good too, because we literally just had a final meeting about kind of finalizing this new financial direction. But basically, we're going to start to actually have schools pay for the program on a semester basis, okay. and for us to set up the program for a couple reasons. One, we want to be in closer partnership with the university, because we have found when that happens, the program does a lot better, because again, they have a lot of access to contacts, reaching alumni about the platform, mm-hmm. Events are easier to get involved in, more promotion, and then also the business resources that a university provides. There can be workshops on how to pay your taxes correctly or how to price your products, things that we don't necessarily have the bandwidth for, or our managers don't, that kind right. of can come from that higher level. So it would basically be, we'd still collect a semester fee from the students, that's small, to keep them buying into being involved. But then we'd have a setup fee from the university to create the program and the platform, and then an ongoing semester fee from them. Cool. As well.
I love, by the way, I love this audience. Like, if anyone is co-founders, I want more co-founders on this podcast now. I am so hype on just like you guys jamming with each other and like being able to like think through like ideas and where the model is. This is so fun. Like, I love this stuff. And this is, and it's so much more just like, you know, actually just getting to hear what you guys are thinking and like what, where it's been and where it's going.
Yeah.
I love the models that you guys have gone through. And those first two are the first ones. I mean, all three of those are the first ones that come to mind. I actually, from an e-commerce side, so e-commerce is my full-time role. I'm in e-commerce marketing agency world, and I work with, you know, D2C stores all the time. I really like the model of percentage of sales. I think that I agree. And maybe the 20% was too much and it felt like, oh, this is kind of overwhelming or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That model is great for small creators because it means if they're not selling, then they don't have to pay you. But if you're helping them to really like get their sales out there, then they, I mean, aren't they going to, you know, want to pay you for that platform and for that coaching maybe that comes as a part of it. Right. That's one of the things that I think of as like, you know, a younger creator, you know, someone who's coming up in entrepreneurship. Yeah. Maybe I am a humanities major and I just like making t-shirts on the side. Like, it would be great to have, you know, oh, there's some like workshops and stuff that come as a part of this. And I get to, you know, learn from other founders and all this stuff. So I think, so out of the three, that one's my, like, I still think there is some potential there. Who knows? Right. And of course, this is just me throwing ideas out coming from the e-com world. Right. The fee one I get, but that's the thing is if they aren't making any money, then the fee can be this big, like overwhelming thing. Right. Which is kind of, you know, the situation. And if they're making $10,000 versus $100, they're still having to pay the same fee. It's like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
But that last one, have you guys made a partnership with a school yet? Are you there yet?
Yes. So we are in we actually have a trip coming up to Marquette University,
who will be
one of the first schools. And then we have a few more in the works, but that will be our model going forward.
Okay.
And based on what you said, it reminded me of something when we kind of changed out of the percentage was we realized that our program and business is so much bigger than the online shop because we provide so much more.
Right.
So all of our emphasis was on the sales with that percentage, but we really wanted students to buy into, I'm not just joining an online shop to sell my products. I'm joining a program where I get this network. I get learning opportunities. I get events. I get community experiences, all these opportunities. So we really wanted the emphasis to be off the shop. Obviously that's our big main thing, but we want it to be more well-rounded than that as well.
I love it.
And you know, I think it comes back to like, what's the real aim of our business? So yes, if we had one student made store.com, another part I actually forgot about, this all used to be on one website. So we had multiple schools all selling on one site. If that's kind of the model we had me and Lindsay said, okay, we want to make our income by making as busy and highly visited, you know, e-commerce website as possible. And we're going to have all these colleges across the country. We're going to have like millions of visitors through our site, and we're going to make a ton of sales. That's one way we could do it. And I think in your percentage of sales model, that would work really well because me and Lindsay could put all our attention toward marketing the platform and increasing the traffic and increasing the sales as if we owned a site ourselves. I think we keep coming back to what's the value that we're trying to promote. And when we talk about it in terms of a college campus, it's okay. Every campus has an entrepreneurship department and they're trying to engage entrepreneurial students. They're trying to connect those students with alumni for support. They're trying to make that a more common thing across campus, supporting things like that. And so we look at our program as a really solid way of doing that.
Yeah.
And in exchange for maybe hyping up those sales right away and having tons of sales through the site, we're setting the framework that allows student managers to run this. That might be first time in a role like this. And yes, there are managers who are a little slow to take off. And maybe our social media manager isn't posting enough to drive the kind of traffic to the site, obviously putting Lindsay, the social media whiz, on social media, which she has done before. And she's like, take it, like 911 responded to a school that's like, we need to get more sales for the school. I'm going to take over UNC's social media. And she does, and it does phenomenally well. But that's not the sustainable model that we're going for. We need to come back to the thought of, okay, this is their thing. This is, these students are running this. We are hands off. This is the experience for them. Yes, the sales might not be as high as they might be, but it's the same experience for the creators on the site. We want to offer, mm-hmm. you know, there are a lot of students starting this at the very beginning of their business journey. They need to learn about like how to take pictures of their products, how to promote themselves, how to utilize the network of support, how to like do all these things. They might not make a sale their first month or their first couple months. We don't want to say like, okay, you haven't made a sale. We're not making our income. This model is not working. We want to say, yes, you might have to attend 3 or 4 more pop-ups and attend a content session and a strategy session. And let's talk about how you can display your products mm-hmm. better on the site. And maybe in 3 or 4 months, you'll start to pick up your sales. That's right. Kind of the model we have to come back to. Totally. What's the importance of this? You know,
well said.
I love it. Well, and it is. It's like when you guys look, step back and look at the company and what the goals are, like, I love this idea that it is students advocating for themselves. It's them learning how to be an entrepreneur, right? And so when we look at that goal, it's like, okay, well, what model makes the most sense? Let's connect them with mentors. Let's connect them with community. Let's get them connected with their school's entrepreneurship program. Yeah, of course, it's a no-brainer. Like that totally makes sense for me and connect. So I love where you guys are headed. I'm super excited for it. And you'll definitely have to keep me in the loop about the school partnership stuff. I've never like cracked the code on school partnerships. And I feel like this might be the way in where you're saying, hey, you know, I'm going to help build your network, connecting alumni to students, connecting students yes. to the community. Like that's such a huge value add for entrepreneurship programs. And entrepreneurship programs are the only, and this is my experience, like the only programs in a school that will help advocate for a startup, because every other program in the school, it's like, no, it's going to take 2 to 6 years to implement this. But entrepreneurship programs, they get it, right? They want to be there. So I love it. If people enjoyed this conversation, they love you guys, they love what you're up to, they want to get involved in the community in whatever way they can, where should they go? How can they find you guys?
So they can go to our website to learn more about our program at www.studentmadestore.com.
Yes.
Or follow us on social media is probably the best way to stay up to date, which is at studentmadestore. And if you go to our social media, you'll actually be able to follow all of our student made branches as well from there and see the shop.
If you're a student at a university and you want this at your campus, come find us, because we love working with you to pitch this basically to the university, get them on board. And having a student, talking to students out there, if you're passionate about this idea and you want to see this on your campus, we would love to work with you how we can best approach a university, engage your campus culture in this. And I think that can be a valuable experience for you as maybe our next campus manager.
Yes. There we go. Nice. Next campus manager listening to this podcast right now. Are you guys already at NC State or no? NC State University?
Yes,
we are.
Yes.
All right. Well, I was going to offer an intro, but hey, good. You're already there winning. I got to get connected. I'm in the alumni network here. We got to get me back in. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you both so much. It was such a pleasure to have you guys. You guys were the best first double guests I could have asked for. So I'm so grateful for you and excited to share this with a lot of people.
Oh, excellent.
Thank you so much.
Fun.
This is so fun.
Yeah, you're a great host.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, and for anybody listening, as always, make sure you're subscribed. It's the best way to find out right when a new episode's coming out. And you can follow us at Taking a Breath Podcast on Instagram for clips and content and everything there. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you again next week for another episode.